My life be like.
Welcome to Off Court with the McGowans, powered by Husker Online. Nebraska basketball players Trey and Bryce McGowans give you an inside look at the program and much more. Off Court is brought to you by Tavern 180 and Tanner's Bar and Grill in Lincoln.
And welcome here to another edition of Off Court with Trey and Bryce McGowans, Sean Callahan, Robin Washington of Husker Online. Pleased to kind of drive the bus here each week for Trey and Bryce McGowans on Off Court. Once again, we're brought to you by our great sponsors, Tavern 180 and Tanner's Bar and Grill. Trey and Bryce, they stopped up here. They made a delivery today for the show as thanks again to Tanner's and Tavern 180 as they fed us before the show today.
Wings, fire. That was my first time having Wagyu.
The Wagyu steak.
What'd you think?
It was great.
Best steak out of
live up to the hype?
Yeah.
Best steak out of hand.
It's legit.
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah, we've got a full show, though, on tap here, guys. We're going to hear from Coach Nate Linzer, Doc Sadler, and then we're going to introduce the mailbag segment as a lot of questions that we'll hear from Husker fans. But we want to hear from you now. Robin and I are going to kind of grill you on the topics of the week. And first of all, we had our first show last week, and we got a lot of national publicity. I mean, we were picked up by Darren Revelle. I saw Yahoo, and a lot of national publicity took notice of Off Court. What you guys think of the reaction here on week one?
Well, first of all, I just want to thank everybody for, supporting us. And, you know, we're just starting. And we're looking forward to, you know, building it bigger. So thank y'all for that. But, you know, just really, it was exciting. Just, we kicked off right at 12. You know, so it was just fun, and, you know, I'm just blessed to be a part of it with my brother and, you know, you guys.
Like Bryce said, we're just super excited about what's to come and happy and thankful for everyone who supported us and y'all as well. Thank you for helping us get this platform to talk and just do something together.
Sure. Well, I mean, what kind of feedback did you get from, you know, people, you know, friends, family members, people around campus or anything like that? It seemed like just based off social media, there was a lot of positive response to that.
No, definitely. I'm just walking around Lincoln I can't remember where I was. I was somewhere else. It was like
right outside the facility. It was somebody walking.
As soon as we walked out of the facility, like out of practice one day, someone stopped us and gave us positive feedback.
Nice.
And then just walking around and stuff like that. So it was definitely good.
Yeah, and I got it was a listener yesterday when we were at Tavern.
Yeah, sure.
We're outside, and he came outside. He was like, "I enjoyed your podcast, y'all's podcast," and I was just like, you know, thank you for watching. I mean, thank you for listening.
So obviously, this is the big one you guys are doing, but we're now about a week into the NIL era. What's kind of this whole new age of collegiate athletics been for you guys? Have you gotten other opportunities to, you know, continue to capitalize on this? And I mean, anything specific you want to share?
I mean, we definitely have a lot of opportunities coming up, so really just stay tuned. I mean, we'll talk about it a little later once it gets closer to finalization. But, I mean, we don't really want to rush into stuff too soon without, mm-hmm. Knowing, like you talked about, just a little fine print, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So we kind of been taking our time with everything as of right now.
What is it like, though? Are you guys getting, or athletes, not just you, but people you know at other schools or other athletes at Nebraska? I know you're friends with some high-profile football players. Are you guys getting multiple kind of requests that you're filtering out and looking through over this first week? Or, I mean, is it pretty manageable, or are you getting some random ones in there as well?
It's pretty manageable. But, I mean, of course it could be kind of overwhelming a little bit, but, I mean, I'd rather be overwhelming than...
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, you feel me?
It's a good problem to have.
Nah, great problem to have.
Well, I guess, you know, this is the all off-the-court stuff you guys are kind of experiencing for the first time, but one of the big news developments of the week was a teammate of yours, Trey, and I guess you maybe have known him for a little bit, Bryce, but Delano Banton decided to keep his name in the NBA draft. I guess for, you know, a player and a teammate, when you see, you know, a teammate of yours make a decision like that, what's the initial response to that? Is it strictly, you know what, good for you, man, I'm going to cheer you on, or is there a part of you that's like, man, you know, I was kind of hoping that, you know, you would be a part of this thing that we're building for next year?
I mean, of course it's mixed feelings, but, I mean, Me and Dubba had kind of talked a little bit, so I kind of sensed it a little bit. But I mean, I'm extremely proud of him. He performed well to put himself in the position that he put himself in. And then especially like I think after the season when he came back, when he was working out here, he took everything up a notch, especially when he got back from workouts. He was working out somewhere after the season while everybody was going working out their separate ways. And then when he came back, I just saw totally different Delano. So I mean, I'm just happy for him and can't wait to see where he lands.
For sure. And Bryce, I know you probably didn't know Delano all that well, but you know, as a player that has, you know, your own professional aspirations, you know, you see a guy like that played 1 year in a kind of a crazy year with Coach Hoiberg and his staff, and now all of a sudden he's one step closer to realizing those dreams. I mean, how do you reflect on that? Is it kind of like further evidence that, you know, maybe Nebraska can get you where you wanted to go when you came here?
I just, you know, stick to the theory that, you know, work shows, and, you know, him being able to, you know, go out there and perform well under the system that, you know, Coach Fred plays with, Coach Hoiberg, I would say, plays with, and him going out and, you know, performing at a high level, it really just reflects on, you know, the work. So
kind of piggybacking off what Bryce had said, I mean, Coach Hoiberg, when he talked to us, we kind of talked about it a little bit after practice kind of as a team, and then he was just telling us everything that we run, that was what was being ran in the combine. Mm-hmm. So Lano was comfortable with it when maybe some other people weren't. So that kind of gave him a step up.
And now, obviously, the question for this coming season is, you know, the point guard position, because Delano was going to be one of the, if not the, primary point guards. And I know when you look at the roster that's in place right now, I mean, you guys are two of the potential options. Trey, I know you played some point last year, especially towards the back end of last season. And Bryce, you've played point guard before too, right?
Yes, sir.
In high school AU. So, I mean, I guess, how do you see that role being handled now that, you know, Delano is officially out of the picture?
Hopefully the plan is for me, I get to run the point guard position this year. And then especially with all the pieces we have this year, it'll make it so much easier with the pieces Coach Hoiberg and staff added this summer and possibly still adding. Mm-hmm. I mean, just everybody just enjoys being around each other also. That makes it totally easy, chemistry-wise. Workout-wise, like we talked about, I think last week with CJ and Q, people coming in after hours, just freelancing workouts, but kind of in systems, like setting up, like if you're here, we can come off a certain way to get you a look here. So, I mean, first 2 days of practice, I'm definitely excited about what's in store.
Well, guys, the schedule stuff came out. Robin, I know there's some topics that we want to hit on here on the schedule as well.
Yeah, sure. Non-con schedule officially released this week. You know, first 7 games, I believe, at home. Got an exhibition charity game against Colorado. And then December rolls around at NC State, neutral site against Auburn. Got Kansas State coming to town. And then plus a couple early Big Ten games in that first part of December. What's your guys' initial reaction to the non-con slate?
I'm really excited for, you know, the schedule we have coming, the non-conference schedule we have coming up. You know, our guys, you know, the team has really bought in to, you know, learning every day, picking up new things, and coming in and work. So, you know, just being able to come in and, you know, start off the season strong and hopefully lead until conference play, it'll be major. So we just have to come in with the right mindset every day, you know, in practice, in a game, and, you know, perform.
What game are you guys most excited about?
Probably Auburn. Yeah, most definitely Auburn.
Auburn in Atlanta as part of the Holiday Hoops Giving event, and that's going to be at the State Farm Center where the Atlanta Hawks play. So that's just down the road from you guys.
Right. It's like, I mean, we got family in Atlanta, family in Charlotte.
There you go.
I mean, we kind of got family everywhere down south. So,
and being able to play at North Carolina State as well, you know, being in the Carolinas again, you know, feel good. You know, have family friends there also.
And then lastly, guys, NBA Finals kicks off. Milwaukee, Phoenix. Who do you guys got?
I got the Suns. I want to see CP3 finally get them one. And I mean, I'm sure Bryce got the Suns too, because D-Book, one of his favorite players, who he kind of models his game around.
So. Suns in six?
Yeah, I got Suns in six. D-Book MVP of the finals.
There you go.
Averaging 35 a game.
35. All right, well, we got a full show on tap here, Trey and Bryce. We're going to hear from assistant coaches Nate Linzer and Doc Sadler, and we're going to take questions in the mailbag here. You're listening to Off Court with Trey and Bryce McGowans. Hi, it's Sean Callahan with Husker Online. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So US Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones and see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
You're listening to Off Court with the McGowans, brought to you by Tavern 180 and Tanner's Bar and Grill in Lincoln.
And welcome back here to Off Court with Trey and Bryce McGowans, as this segment of the show brought to you by our sponsor, Gary Michaels Clothing on 56 and Pine Lake. Get on into Gary Michaels Clothing to get all of your custom sports gear and get hooked up. They are the official outfitters of Off Court with Trey and Bryce McGowans. Well, Robin, we're pleased to be joined here by our next guest. I know Trey and Bryce are really excited to get a chance to talk to Coach Nate Linzer. Coach, we really appreciate the time, as you're the newest member of this Nebraska basketball coaching staff, but you've worked with Fred Hoiberg in the G League and also at Iowa State. Welcome to the program. I know Trey and Bryce are really excited and have a lot of questions for you.
Well, I'm really excited to be on the show today, and obviously for a lot of reasons, you know, we're excited to be in Lincoln at the University of Nebraska and to have both of these, obviously, student-athletes ask you to be a part of something that they're doing is just a nice treat for me today, and I'm excited for the opportunity.
All right, Trey. Well, I know Trey wants to start off first here. What do you got to lead us off here, Trey?
I'm going
to
do the intro for him, the basketball genius. Coach Nate, sitting up in your office, just picking your brain, or just being on the court, just helping me develop on and off the court. Just, I'm grateful for it. So I appreciate you for that.
Well, the biggest thing, Trey, is, hearing compliments like that from you is a reason, that is my why. And I love coaching. I love sports. I grew up with sports. But the relationships that I've been able to develop through this game have been awesome, and we've only been together for a couple months, and the feeling is mutual, and just having the opportunity to be able to have a platform to help you not only on the court but off the court is why I do what I do. So that means a lot that you would say that.
And Coach, this is Bryce. Again, like Trey said, I want to thank you for really everything you've done for me on and off the court. Before practice, always, being in the gym, picking up on things, and after practice, always getting extra work from what, you see in practice that I can work on. And, but we just going to start off with a couple questions that I have for you.
Sounds good. Let's do it. And, I would say this, too, and for you to say that, Bryce, it means a lot. And then going back to you, Trey, one of my big philosophies is we talk about this is we always want this to be a we program, and I don't want this to be a my program or just a your program. This is a we program, and to hear that what we're talking about, what we're doing as far as our relationship is resonating with you, because you guys are giving me feedback as well with my coaching and just the things that you're excited about with your careers. That's when I know we've got something special going, and I just appreciate both of you for that.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, too. Appreciate you, Kurt. Well, Coach, you coaching at the highest level, being around a lot of high-level guys and, coaches. Tell me about your coaching path.
Yeah, Bryce, I played in high school. I was a four-sport athlete. I played baseball, basketball, football, and golf. I played baseball in college and just always loved competing myself. I knew there was going to be a limit to what my abilities were going to be, and I also found that I, as a player, I took to being an extension of the coach, and tried to be a leader within our team. So I think there was some natural characteristics that I had as an athlete that I wanted to carry on as a coach. I started as a high school coach at my high school. I actually was a baseball coach for 6 years at a young age, but I was a head varsity basketball coach at my alma mater, NU High School in Cedar Falls, at the age of 21. So I was very, very young, and was given kind of the keys to that program. Our school was about to shut down for budget cuts. They were part of the University of Northern Iowa. So I went to Ames High School, and I was there actually for two seasons, and was actually an assistant there. Had 369 kids starting on that team. I haven't had 369 players starting on any team I've had since, and that includes in the NBA. But we had a very good team and a very good program there. Harrison Barnes was actually a sixth grader at the time at Ames High School. Didn't know he was necessarily going to be who he was at that time, but obviously we had a very good program there. From there, I developed a relationship with Coach Larry Eustace, who was the Iowa State head coach, and then his associate head coach, Steve Barnes, had one of his sons on my team, and they later got the head job at the University of Southern Mississippi. So I went down as an assistant at age 25, down to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and was in Conference USA for 6 years. Went down there with no guarantees. Just Coach Eustace said, I don't have anything on my staff, but if you want to come down, I'll let you figure it out. So I went down to Mississippi in June of 2004, and within 2 weeks I was running his camp. And then the experiences I got down there were great. We actually had an assistant leave in the middle of the season, so at age 25 I was moved up to an assistant coach, and my first game coaching was against LSU, and Big Baby Glenn Davis and Brandon Bass were on LSU's team, and we actually won that game. So that was kind of a cool start to that part of my career. Spent 6 years there, moved back to Iowa, and spent 3 years as a high school coach. Spent a long time away from my family and just kind of wanted a reboot in my career. And after three seasons up in Northwest Iowa, I joined Coach Hoiberg at Iowa State and spent 2 years with him. We had a great run there, coached a lot of future NBA players. And from there, Coach Hoiberg took me to the Chicago Bulls. I was video coordinator the first year. I was head coach for the Windy City Bulls in my second year. And then the last 3 years, I was an assistant in the NBA and made it all the way up to an on-the-bench assistant, which there's only 90 of those in the world. So obviously I've had a lot of twists and turns in my coaching career, but this is year 20 for me. And what I've found is no matter what the level is and who I'm working with and teaching and coaching, I love building the relationships. And I think you've seen Trey and Bryce in our short time that I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to give you my all every time we step on the court. And I'm just excited about the path that we're on together.
Yes, sir. And Coach, what do you think the biggest difference between, you know, coaching league guys like in the NBA or G League compared to, you know, coaching college players? What do you see in that?
Well, I would say, you know, no matter the level, I worry less about maybe what the player or where they're at. I just pour into the player no matter the level. So I think all players want to be coached. I think all players want to be held accountable. I think all players, no matter the level, just want to make sure that you have their best interest in them. And if you don't, then there's, I think the only thing that might change is that, you know, professional athletes, you sometimes might have one chance each and every day. So it's very important that you bring your game each and every day. I mean, and I think, you know, sometimes in college, I think especially younger players will do almost anything you ask them to do. And I think that's why as coaches, it's important that we understand not only what we're doing and why we're doing it, and understand that we might have a level of power or trust that we have with players. So with that being said, I don't try to take advantage of that. I try to use that as a strength. And I've talked, you know, to you about this, Bryce, and same with Trey. You know, whatever your window is, I'm not going to try to ever mislead you. And I want to you to maximize your career, no matter how that looks. And if I'm expecting the best out of you, then I think it's just important that you're expecting the best out of me. And I think if we always are playing kind of by that set of rules, then it really doesn't matter when it comes to coaching, no matter what level I'm at.
All right, we're back to me, Coach. I mean, right. A lot of people, they think the G League sweet just because it's not the NBA, but like a lot of us know, G League guys, they're pros and they're high level guys. So I mean, what was the G League like?
You know, the G League was actually I loved it. I you know, it was 1 year that I was a head coach there, and I was a head coach for the. In the inaugural season for the Windy City Bulls. So we were an expansion team. And I'll be honest with you, our franchise had no real idea of how to run the franchise or what the G League was even about. So for me personally, I was able to slide into a situation where I could really put my fingerprints on it. It was, it was different for me because it was a 50-game season. But what people don't realize is the rosters change so much. I think there were three times throughout the whole year where I had the same roster over three games in a row. So, and we had 27 players in those 50 games. So for me, as a younger coach, I was kind of thrown into the fire, and I actually enjoyed it. There was a few things that I lived by. Stay positive, stay organized, and can control what you can control, because there was a lot of moving parts. And for me, even though that was my first time coaching at the professional level as a head coach, I felt like I had prepared for it, just because even when I was an assistant or whatever the role I had, whether it was as a high school coach, a college coach, or whatever, I always tried to provide input back, whether it was to Fred Hoiberg or Larry Eustace, like I was the head coach. And instead of just opinions, I tried to give them what I would truly have done as far as decisions. So I felt like I had been preparing for it. So that made the transition easier for me. The thing that I think some players struggle with is you're so close, but you're so far. There's only 450 NBA players in the world. So, and then when you're in that G League, I think there's that sense of you're almost there, which you are, but it's tough because you're fighting for the end of a bench spot. So even though you're putting up big numbers, that's not even necessarily going to be the role that you're striving to get. And some guys could understand that and understood that, hey, if I do the things that impact winning or the little things and do it to the best of my ability, then I can and have a some sort of potential, then there would be a spot for me. But some guys couldn't understand that I'm scoring 30 points, but I'm taking 25 shots and I'm not getting any looks, just because, to be honest with you, if you were fighting for an end of the bench spot, it's not like you're telling, hey, LeBron, kick it over to me or Anthony Davis or Kevin Durant. No, you have to know how to play with people, with other people, and then prove your worth, your role will grow, or your purpose. So it was tough for some guys, and yet some guys really flourished off it. And the thing that I loved about it, when it comes to professional basketball, you're kind of either an asset or a liability. And if you can't figure out how to adjust and how to be a professional, then it doesn't matter what your accolades were coming into it. It's all about producing every day, and the guys that were able to do that led to successful careers, and that's what I loved about the whole G League experience.
Yes, sir. And Coach, I got one more question for you. You love, working with other guys. You love working with everybody. But who is one guy, or who are a couple of your favorite guys that you just love, getting to jail with and, just spend time with on or off the court?
That's a great question. First of all, I will say this, if I'm talking about the guys that I worked with in the NBA, and the way my structure worked was as an assistant coach, when I went back up to the NBA after being a year as a head coach in the G League, I was assigned three different players. And when I was assigned those players, I specifically had their individual plans. I had their film sessions. I had their, you know, getting adjusted to Chicago or professional life. So you get very, very close with those guys. You're talking 82 games. You're talking 41 road trips. So, I mean, the amount of time that you spend with those guys, especially the guys that you're assigned to, you know, those are relationships I'm going to have for the rest of my life. So the guys that I worked with specifically were guys like Justin Holliday, Denzel Valentine, David Nwaba, Ryan Arcidiacono, Chris Dunn, Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot, Chandler Hutchison, and then Zach LaVine. And the cool thing for me, Bryce, is like all those guys, I can pick up the phone and call or text, and we can just talk about life or whatever, and it doesn't even have to be about basketball. Sure, I can send them a text, hey, you had a great game, or I'm excited about you, or Chris Dunn, that's awesome, you guys moved on in the playoffs, stuff like that. So that's cool, but then I can also, you know, wish Chris Dunn a happy Father's Day because he's got a young son that's just turned, you know, 3 years old. So my thing is I can't tell you who my favorite players are. As long as there's some level of receptiveness and there's some level of relationship that I have with a player, then to me it doesn't matter. It's all about us getting better and this, spending this time together and making the most of these opportunities we have to grow.
Well, Coach Linzer, we really appreciate the time. This has been an outstanding interview, and I hope we can get you on the show again. As Trey and Bryce, obviously, we're very comfortable speaking to you on here, and I think Husker fans are going to love hearing this interview. So we appreciate your time, and I know we're looking forward to seeing what these guys can do with you here this season.
Well, these are, you know, it's easy content to deal with when you have great questions, and I think these guys are really serious about what they're doing, and they're really taking ownership. They've taken ownership of their playing careers, and obviously, but this off-court stuff as well for them to see. I mean, I can tell it's important to these two guys, and it's just fun to be a part of. And anytime I can help out, I'm here. Just give me a call. I'd love to be on again sometime.
All right. Well, much more to come here on Off Court. When we come back, we're actually going to hear from another member of the Husker coaching staff. Doc Sadler will join us here on the show. You're listening to Off Court with Trey and Bryce McGowans.
You're listening to Off Court with the McGowans, brought to you by Tavern 180 and Tanner's Bar and Grill in Lincoln.
And welcome back here to Off Court with Trey and Bryce McGowans, Sean Callahan, Robin Washett, Trey and Bryce McGowans. This segment of Off Court brought to you by our friends at Lazari's Pizza, right off 48th and Old Cheney. Seth and the guys over there have been great, great friends of the Nebraska basketball program. Best pizza you're going to get in town. Make sure you check out Lazari's Pizza here in Lincoln. They are a proud sponsor of Off Court and with Trey and Bryce McGowans. Well, we're pleased to bring in now our next guests for Trey and Bryce, one of a very familiar name in Nebraska basketball. Doc Sadler, who was once the head coach in Nebraska, now a member of Fred Hoiberg's coaching staff. Coach, thank you for the time on the show. I know Trey and Bryce are looking forward to getting a chance to get a crack at the legendary Doc Sadler.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be on Bryce and Trey's show. And I'm sure it's going to be a classic, go down as one of the best podcasts in history. The problem is, from this point on, it's probably going to be downhill since I'm the guest. So, but let's rapid fire and see what them guys got to say.
All right, take it away, Bryce.
Well, appreciate you coming on the show, Coach. You've been in the coaching game for a while now. How did you start your coaching career?
Oh, so you're going to talk about my age?
I'll tell you. Started Arkansas.
I got you. Well, you know, that's part of it. No, you're right. I've been fortunate. I guess it's going to be about 40 years. This year is going to be my 40th year. 39 of those 40 have been in college. And I'm one of the lucky guys. You know, a lot of times there's so many good coaches that never get the opportunities that I have been given. And I started out at Arkansas for a Hall of Fame guy named Eddie Sutton, and that's probably helped my career as much as anything. But you know, the thing that you know some people don't understand and don't they look at the end product instead of the product from the beginning to the end. And, you know, getting where I have gotten and gotten to do the things I've gotten to do, my family's had to sacrifice so much, because I've probably coached at maybe 15 different colleges. So that means I've moved a lot. But, you know, I get asked a lot of times, how do you get in the position that, you know, that I've gotten into coaching college? And, you know, first I would say, just work hard. You got to be really, really lucky. Recruit great players like yourself and Trey, and you get to stay a lot longer than most. But, you know, overall, I've just been very, very fortunate, and, you know, just work hard and be a good person, which I think, you know, I try to be, maybe you'll get a little luck along the way and get the opportunities that maybe I got.
I mean, you coached at a lot of schools, UTEP, Arkansas, like you said, here. And, I mean, like you said, you coached almost 15 schools. What were some of your favorite teams that you coached, or also players?
Well, I've coached probably close to 30 guys that have gone on to play in the NBA, and which is a lot of players. And that's probably, without question, the reason I've been successful. I can't say that I've ever had one place that I've liked more than others. Every place I've been has been something different. But we have enjoyed living in all the places that we've lived. And a lot of times people ask me, you know, about that same question that you just asked me, and they're surprised to say that El Paso at UTEP, that's one of the funnest places I've ever coached. I loved El Paso. They loved basketball. We had some great teams, had some great players. But I also really, really enjoyed the 1 year that I spent in high school. I actually, believe it or not, I coached the boys and the girls. And I really enjoyed coaching both of them. And you guys can kind of talk to this a little bit, having a sister that's, you know, better than either one of y'all ever be.
No, really though.
You know, coaching girls is different. You know, a lot of times they listen better than the guys do. But I really enjoyed the coaching the high school also. So, you know, there's too many players to say that this guy or that guy's been my favorite. I don't know that, you know, that would even be possible. But some of the guys here at Nebraska that I got a chance to coach when I was the head coach here, you know, I really, really enjoyed coaching the 6 years and was very, very fortunate to not just have some good basketball players, but, man, we had some good times, and I really had some good guys that was on those teams.
And coach, what have you learned throughout your career as, you know, as a coach?
Well, I think, you know, Bryce, one of the things that as the older you get, the more you listen. You listen to your players. You listen to people around you. You know, when you're a head coach, there's so many things that's going through your head that sometimes maybe you don't have a chance to step back and just really take in the whole thing. But when you're an assistant coach like I am now, to sit back and just, you know, understand that you guys, I can still learn a lot from you guys, just as I think I've got a lot to give you and teach you. And that's something I think that, especially you two guys, I don't think people really realize how hungry you are, how humble you are to be great players. I mean, you know, a lot of guys come into situations and think that they already have all the answers. And like I like to say, and y'all have heard me, how can you guys have the answers when you don't even know the questions? But you guys are not like that. And that's something I think is a credit to your mom and dad, the people that they've raised. They've raised, obviously, good people that are very humble. You just so happen to be pretty good basketball players. So that's something I've learned. Sit back and listen to your players, and a lot of times they'll give you the answer also that you're looking for.
I got a question also, Coach. We back to Trey. I mean, I saw that you coached in Nebraska for like 5-6 years. How was that? And mm-hmm. then just how was it to come back? What was the decision to come back?
That's a great question, because a lot of people ask me that. And I would say this. There's probably not anyone out there that I would have come back to work for other than Fred Hoiberg, because as you guys know, I was actually a head coach when Coach called me and asked me to come back. You know, I was one of the coaches that actually had a great job, and we just won 20 games and had a great season and everything. But I don't think there's a person. There may be some other people in this business as good as coach, as a person, but there's nobody that's any better. And that's first and foremost at my age. I wanted to work for somebody that was a good person, and who I think is probably as good, if not the best, offensive coach in college basketball. So it was also a chance for me to continue to learn. Because I still like basketball, and I still love to watch basketball. As you guys know, I'm always in there watching tape and trying to pick up something that maybe you guys have done today that I didn't know or whatever. So having the opportunity to come back and work for Coach, like I said, was probably the only guy, because I truly believe in everything that he's doing. There's not anything that I don't believe in. That was probably as big a point as any of them.
And I got one last question for you, Coach.
Okay.
So I feel like everybody around here kind of know you a little bit. So, like, you big on energy and just positive energy. Like, where did that come from?
You know what? I like to have fun. This game is very, very important to you, to your brother, to your teammates. Y'all work too hard for it not to be important to you. But at the same time, I think you guys, to be as good as you can be, you need to maybe laugh a little bit, have a good time, relax, because to get the best out of you, you know, it can't be a stressful situation. Sometimes, you know, some of the things I say, and as you guys know, I can laugh at myself just as much as I can laugh at you. And I like to give it out, but I'll also take it. And I think that's important, because I tell people this. You guys, the next 3, 4, 5 years or 1 year, whatever it may be, are experiencing the greatest years of your life, college. However long you decide to stay here or don't stay here, whatever, believe me. When you finish here and go play professionally, it becomes a job, and this time of your life needs to be the funnest time of your life, and I hope that I, in some small way, am able to make you guys enjoy it, laugh, and have a good time.
Well, Coach Sadler, we really appreciate the chance to have you on the show. And I know hopefully these guys will probably want to get you on again. But thank you for coming on here as a guest of Off Court.
Appreciate
it,
Coach.
You know, with all this stuff that's going on now, what's the gift that I get? Did I get a round trip to Hawaii? What did I get for coming on here?
Well,
we're cookies or something?
We're working that out. Gary Michaels is going to have something, I know, that we're going to work in for guests.
Okay.
So I know you're a fan of Gary Michaels.
Get your new suit, Coach. They fit.
that fits. What are you saying?
You got to wear a little tighter.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me, and you guys have fun.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Thanks, Coach Sadler. Much
All
more
right,
to come. We're going to take your questions in the mailbag here on Off Court, as lots of Husker fans have weighed in this week with questions for Trey and Bryce. We'll take those questions next. You're listening here to Off Court.
Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
All of the lights. You're listening to Off Court with the McGowans, brought to you by Tavern 180 and Tanner's Bar and Grill in Lincoln.
And we're back here on Off Court with Trey and Bryce McGowans, Sean Callahan, Robin Watchett of HuskerOnline.com. Thanks again to coaches Doc Sadler and coach Nate Linzer. Great interviews they brought to the table. And now, Trey and Bryce, we're going to introduce a new segment here on the show. And I think it's one that we're all looking forward to each week. We're going to have a mailbag because there are questions Husker fans want to hear from you. And that was one of the real feedback pieces I got. You know, there's a lot of name, image, and likeness things out there, but a lot of it's just sponsored tweets and things like that. Your guys' name, image, and likeness, you're letting the fans into Nebraska basketball. And I think it, you know, I know the fans are excited to get a chance to get the chance to interact with you each week on the show.
No, most definitely. I can't wait to hear the questions.
All right. Well, let's get to the first question. It is from Noah Borgman. What NBA players are you guys most comparable to?
Personally, my favorite NBA players are Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and Kevin Durant. You know, every night I'm trying to, you know, pick up different things from their game and, you know, add it to my arsenal or toolbox. So, yeah, those are my favorite players.
I mean, I don't really try to model my game after a certain, like, specific player. But, I mean, I kind of watch a lot of guys. But this year, I've been especially trying to work on passing. So I've been watching a lot of NBA games and stuff like that, because how they get their passes off in, like, the weirdest angles and how their body is contoured.
Who do you like to watch?
I like to watch Russ, John Wall, back when John Wall was John Wall, of course. Yes. But, nah, I've been watching, like, a lot of Harden, like, lately. I think he's definitely the best point guard in the league.
Next question here in the mailbag is from Trevor Kirchner. With athletics and life struggles, when you guys are going through rough patches, who are the people you turn that maybe motivate you or can talk you through tough situations? You want to take this one first, Bryce?
Yeah. You know, when times get hard, even when, you know, I'm up, I always look to God. You know, without him, we wouldn't be in this, you know, situation right now in these shoes. So, you know, every chance I get, you know, I'm thanking the Lord above.
Like Bryce said, I mean, thank the men above for everything. I mean, where we are today, but I mean, with me, I'm a little different. I just like to bottle it up. So, I mean, I've been working on it though. So,
who's the when you have a game, who's the first person you call or text or whatever you communicate with? Is there anybody that immediately, like, I got to call so-and-so first? Not a girl. It's got to be.
Usually the first person that calls me, or if I got a missed text or a missed call from someone.
So there's not the go-to, like, this is the, like, and your parent, I mean, when you guys play a game on the road, like, obviously you've played a ton on the road. Do you call the parents usually the first call you guys make?
I never, you know, call after games, really, you know, because before I get a chance to call, it's a paragraph probably on my phone somewhere from my dad, and so, you know, it's not even a point.
Make you laugh, make you happier, just make you want to turn your phone off.
All the above. Yeah. You guys are really close with your parents, though, right? I mean, I know, Trey, you got the Pamela tattoo on your arm, and I mean, it seems like just based off your social media, there's a really strong bond with you guys. How much have they influenced you as far as people and as basketball players?
You know, being as people, you know, them having three children, all of us, you know, being successful to a certain extent, you know, having a little sister that's, you know, coming up, really, you know, and my parents just being who they are, you know, being from a Christian background, you know, having parents that, you know, push them to succeed and push them to be great parents as well. And on the basketball side, just, you know, they played high-level sports as well. Dad playing football at Clemson and transferred to South Carolina State to play both. and, you know, my mother playing basketball at Western Carolina. And they've always had that dog mentality. So, you know, they try and, you know, fuel it in us, which for Trey, it was fueled at a young age. Trey's always had the dog mentality. You know, I started getting on my shell, you know, just a couple years ago. So I just want, you know, my parents, they've been major influences on, you know, me, my brother, my sister, and, you know, other people's lives. So.
Sure. Yeah, like Bryce said, definitely family is pretty much the biggest, like, family kind of keeps everything together, honestly. Bryce kind of spoke on immediate family, but, I mean, our family's, like, as a whole, just really tight-knit. I mean, we moved, I think, when I was in third grade from where we were, Pendleton, to when we moved to Wren. And the whole street was just family on it. We had aunt across the street, uncle behind my aunt, and then, I mean, cousins and everybody just lived on the same street.
So. Grandparents lived.
Yeah. That's awesome. Grandparents lived. Like,
some pretty good cooking, yeah, I bet, on that street.
Right down the hill. So it's like 20-second walk. So, nice. I mean, family's everything.
All right, next question here for Bryce and Trey is from TJ Bates. And we kind of hit on this a little bit, but maybe which arena are you most looking forward to playing in? What's been your favorite venue you've played in thus far as college or high school players?
This is kind of a tough question for me because, I mean, growing up down south, we were more ACC type guys. Like, that was the main thing we kind of watched because Big Ten was always on a different channel unless it was on ESPN or one of those. But, I mean, it's kind of hard to say right now, but probably when we go back home. I would say just because family gets to be here. So State Farm Arena, we play Auburn.
Did you play at Duke or Carolina?
Yeah, yeah, we played. I had – North Carolina was probably my favorite. I had 26, I think, that game. I think it's called the Dean.
Yeah, the Dean Dome.
Yeah, the Dean Dome. So, I mean, all my family was there. So that was definitely one of my favorites.
In the Big Ten, you really didn't get to experience much last year.
Bunch of empty gyms.
That's why I'm super excited for this year. Just
he hasn't even played for the fans of PBA.
Yeah.
That might be his favorite.
Nah, what's your favorite city to travel to in the Big Ten? Is there one that you liked going to and just being in the city? Or even with COVID, you probably didn't even get to see much, I'm guessing.
COVID rules. Hotel. You were eating, like, bag food because, like, you couldn't leave. So we didn't really get to go out much yet.
How about you, Bryce? Do you have an arena or venue you've played in that, you know, that you really think about still today?
Probably the Bond Secures the Wellness Arena.
Nah, definitely.
Yeah, it's back home. You know, that's where the, you know, state finals, you know, state qualifiers, I would say, are held. And, you know, I was never able to get over the hump to get the state. I was always losing in upper state. But it was just amazing having everybody from, you know, the state, you know, having family and having, you know, just supporters, just really being in one arena and, you know, right on top of you, just, you know, it was fun.
What's the energy like in state basketball in South Carolina?
What's the energy like? I feel like
the city behind you, basically.
Yeah, everybody kind of behind everybody. And we, like, kind of grew up in two places. So it's like Pendleton's like our home, and then Wren is like our second home that, like, really accepted us. So, I mean, just having Wren family with Pendleton family also, and then all the surrounding areas like Anderson, Greenville, and just South Carolina as a whole, like, if they see you doing good things, they just show love. There's no hate coming from South Carolina. Everybody just showing love.
We got a lot of feedback from South Carolina media on the show. I mean, I noticed on the Twitter handle, I mean, there were a lot of people from your home area making comments on the show. So it definitely got attention back home. They follow you guys.
Nah, most definitely.
All right, next question is from Dan Richter. You watch the NBA playoffs. You see teams come out with good intensity. How do you make sure going into a game you have kind of that right mindset where you come out and that intensity that you see maybe in these playoff games?
Probably just big talk and just locked in focus. That's something Coach Hoiberg and the staff kind of has been stressing going into this season. Just starting out strong because, I mean, we didn't really do that last year. We try to get back late, but it would always be too late. So I mean, we've been doing a real good job of that, just setting the tone early from the jump. So, yeah.
How about you? Any, Bryce, any tricks on intensity?
Really just being focused as a unit, you know, all having one goal. And, you know, they gonna feed up. We're all going to feed off each other. So, you know, as long as we're on the same page, you know, everything should be good.
All right, next question is from Scott. And it's about one-on-one. How competitive are the one-on-one games? Do you guys do it a lot? Do you have a go-to move? I mean, give the Husker fans some insight on these legendary McGowan's one-on-one games.
When I was in high school, the games would never get finished. Now that, you know, we've grown up a little bit, I've gotten, you know, a little bit more physical than I was back then. I'm able to take, you know, the beatings that, you know, Travy land. But, like, now, you know,
we don't really play one-on-one no more, though. We play King of the Court, like, with other people. So we
there you go.
Yeah,
beat up on other people rather than just going against each other.
So when you say they didn't get finished, why didn't they get finished?
Somebody would
stop it. Yeah, we just competitive.
Or Trey Hackett.
Wait a minute, Trey got physical. What?
I said you guys are like the Klitschko brothers. Yeah. They won't box each other. They don't want to fight anymore. I mean, they've never fought. So yeah. You guys are you done playing a competitive one-on-one game now, like to score?
And we played King of the Court, you know, a lot. So I would. I don't know about one-on-one. I don't know if we can just roll out a ball and just play.
We'll do King of the Court for sure.
Well, I remember talking with C.J. Wiltshire's dad, and he said that him and his little brother, Simeon, they don't play one-on-one either. Yeah, like they never really did it growing up. They would always rather be on the same team beating up on somebody else. Like that was is that kind of how you guys are?
Nah, definitely.
All right, guys, next question here is about the recruits Coach Hoiberg has brought in. He's brought in a lot. I mean, they've had a lot of high-profile kids come in. Obviously, both of you have been on the recruiting dinners with them and on the visits with these kids. Give us some insight. I mean, are you guys opening the eyes of these kids? Do they want to join the program and get a chance to play with guys like you?
Yeah, most definitely. Like Coach Hoiberg said, I mean, having your first five-star, I mean, that kind of puts you over the hump to where, like, some high-level guys might be scared to come to Nebraska just off Nebraska, you know? But, I mean, since Bryce came here, I mean, we've had so many top recruits, so that's like really interested, so and want to come here, so I'm excited.
And you know, being a game changer, you know, being the first five-star recruit to ever come here, really just being able to, you know, sit down and talk with the recruits, you know, here that come on their visits, and just telling them like it's not about the name of the school, mm-hmm. it's about the play style, the people around it, and how it's going to help you succeed. So, and those are all what, you know, bought into my commitment. And, you know, a lot of them do understand that, you know, it's not about the name. It's about how you produce, who helps you produce.
Put you in the right position and situation. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Nebraska's a place for that.
So I think you guys have been the player host, so to speak, for about like 20 different recruits the last month, just based off interviews I've done. What goes into that? What do you guys do when you're showing a kid around campus? And I mean, do you take them certain spots? And is there anything you want to make sure to show them or tell them or sell the program on?
Really, it starts in practice. You know, right when they get here, they're probably, you know, in a practice setting. So, you know, we just have to bring a lot of energy as we do every day. You know, nothing new, but, you know, just being able to show them what, you know, Nebraska basketball is about on the basketball side. And, you know, off the court, you know, just, you know, talking to them, being actually, like, getting to know each other, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, who knows, one day it could be a teammate. So, you know, just being able to sit down, get to know where they come from, what they like to do, and stuff like that.
I think it's just, I mean, them just being around all the guys and then just seeing how well everybody meshes together and gets along. Because, I mean, that's really rare to where everyone gets along and really rocks with each other and it's real genuine. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. I mean, once they're around that, I feel like Nebraska sells itself because, I mean, with the coaches showing them the play style and all that, like, that's all that's checked through, like, playing-wise. But, I mean, off the court and stuff like that, I feel like that's going to really sell it.
You're listening here to Off Court with Trey and Bryce McGowan. The segment of the show is brought to you by our newest sponsor of the program, A1 Automotive, here located in downtown Lincoln, 1117 L Street. It is your local mechanic if you have car issues. I can tell you, Kendall, the owner, they will take great care of you for just about anything you need. And they've been actually helping and working with UNL students and student athletes for many years that have had car issues. So check out A1 Automotive for all your service and repair needs on 1117 L Street. All right, got a two-part question here for each of you from John Silva. First part is for Trey. How hard was it last year for you to go on the court with a completely brand new group of guys? I mean, nobody really knew each other when you look at Hoiberg's first team versus Hoiberg's second team.
I mean, it was definitely different, especially all the COVID restrictions. I mean, the first couple months on campus, like, everybody couldn't be together. It was like two people, three people max in the gym. So, I mean, you couldn't really get the chemistry that I feel that you needed. In some ways, I feel like we're more ahead now than what we were last year, just off the COVID restrictions and us being able to be around each other and, like, in a gym kind of whenever we want and together. So.
And then the second part here is for Bryce from John. Bryce, John wants to know, for someone that hasn't seen your game, what is the skill set that you bring? What are you going to bring to Nebraska basketball here in 2021-2022?
Bring a different type of swagger, you know. Be a two-way player on the offensive end, you know, stay aggressive while, you know, being able to get my teammates involved. And on the defensive end, just bring a different type of dog, you know. And being on the court with my brother, you know, I already know what he brings. He is a dog. So, you know, just being able to, yeah, I don't know.
All right, well, we got two more questions left here, guys. Being from South Carolina, is there a local athlete in some? They mentioned Kevin Garnett or Pete Maravich. I mean, there's been a lot of great guys. Joe Frazier. Do you follow anyone that came from South Carolina? Did you grow up following Clemson or South Carolina football or other sports? I mean, what was it like growing up as young sports fans in the state of South Carolina?
I mean, I'm gonna just say people that like actually like were around, like that we saw kind of firsthand. I mean, we saw Shamon Williams. I mean, we saw a lot of people. Probably the person, like, everybody kind of looked up to, kind of Anderson-Greenville area where we grew up, especially because he kind of played on the older age group of the AAU team, was Juwan Evans, McDonald's All-American. I mean, played at Oklahoma State. Did he leave after his first or second year? Yeah, but yeah, he got drafted, I think, first pick of the second round or something like that. I'm not really sure, but I mean him. But I mean someone like even closer to us, Bryce could tell you a lot about him. I mean, I could too, but I'm gonna let Bryce kind of take it over. But Kelly Bryant, he was like a big brother to us, and we kind of saw it firsthand. So
yeah, Kelly, he was definitely you know, like a big brother to us. You know, seeing what he went through. You know, just being, you know, another, you know, we looking up to him. He was really like our idol, you know.
To this day.
Yeah, to this day. Still. He is, you know. People around, you know, South Carolina know he's one of the most humblest guys, if not the humblest kid you'll ever meet. You know, he's been through a lot of ups and downs, but he always, you know, kept his head up and kept moving forward and kept working. He never stopped working. And, you know, I love him for that. And he always in the word, too. So I love it.
Yeah, most definitely.
All right, final question here is for Trey, and it's from Scott Blackwell. Scott wants to know a little bit about Teddy Allen. Said that he had, you know, a really high use of vocabulary, a unique sense of vocabulary, and he wanted to get your take. Did Teddy ever blow you away with some of his vocabulary?
I wouldn't say it was something that kind of blew me away with his vocabulary, but it was just different. I mean, Teddy, I mean, he was someone everybody enjoyed to be around. I mean, he's in New Mexico now, but I mean, Ted, like, it was just be the way he said stuff. Such as, like, he'll say family, then he'll just be like family. Like, every time you see him, he was like super, super welcoming. And I mean, I hope he does great things.
What was the floater one?
Yeah. Oh, if he does a floater, he'll say like flotation station or spin. He'll be like, I put him in the spin cycle. So it was definitely fun to be around for sure.
Well, Bryce and Trey, show number two has been a lot of fun. And we'll be back, I believe, next Wednesday. We're going to tape our next show. We're a little earlier this week because of scheduling. But I know we've got big plans in store to get some more guests up here in studio here for coming shows. So thanks again, guys. And if you have questions for them, email offcourt@huskeronline.com. That's offcourt@huskeronline.com. Or you can hit us up on Twitter directly, as we can get your questions here in the mailbag.
Thanks for listening to Off Court with the McGowans, powered by Husker Online. Join us for another show next week, brought to you by Tavern 180 and Tanner's Bar and Grill in Lincoln.